Translation purposed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although the causes of death, the deities were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna, rather because they came to kill innocent boys as soon as they approached. They themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Purport. Nanda Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy Krishna formerly killed all these demons and therefore in this life they are envious and attacking him. But Krishna is a fire and they are flies, and in a fight between fire and flies, the fire is always victorious. Fighting is always taking place between the demons and the power of the Supreme Personality. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Bhagavad Gita 4:8. Anyone who is against the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed life after life. Ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons. Athap abhi bhavantyenam naivate ghora darshana jigam sayai namasadya nasyantagnau patangavat. Although the causes of that, the deities were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. So these are the words of Nanda Maharaj, evaluating the situation. After another demon is killed, and so he's being influenced by yoga maya. That's why he's not. It's very interesting. Actually, they are aware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but they just don't care. It's amazing. Because in some purpose, Srila Prabhupada says that the residents of Vrindavan, they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, we come across statements, for example, gopis, they say in Gopi Gita, we know very well that you are not just, you know, a human being, but you are the Supreme Soul dwelling in everyone's heart. So they know, but they just don't care. It's like, you know, the mother of someone who is highly posted, like prime minister of the country, may, you know, in the presence of his secretary insist, you know, that today is a chill day, so put on warm socks, and prime minister might say, you know, mother, I'm not really interested. But she would insist, no, you should put the socks. And then the secretary would tell her, excuse me, ma'am, he's the prime minister, so, you know, of the country. He's not a little boy, so please let him choose what he wants to wear or what he doesn't want to wear. And the mother would say, he's the prime minister for you and for everybody else, but for me, he's my son. Like that. And it's very amazing, right? How much authority mothers have over their sons. And so, because Prabhupada was saying that the mother's love is the closest resemblance of love of Krishna in this material world. So by this example, we can understand how in the background, all these devotees, they know Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but they just don't care. For them, he is their close relative or beloved friend or son, like that. So this is the beauty of Lord's home, Vrindavan, and again we are very fortunate that we have an opportunity by the mercy of Shukadeva Goswami, Guru Parampara, and ultimately Srila Prabhupada to have a glimpse into what's going on in the spiritual world, in the not just in the kingdom of God, but in his personal headquarters. And we might be horrified just by thinking. I mean, just imagine we're living quite comfortably here, right? Not much calamity is happening. I don't know if any of you can remember any major calamity happening with you in your life. If that happened, probably it happened like many years ago, right? Or in some cases, you wouldn't even be able to remember any major calamity, right? But if you think about the position of these people, if you think about the position of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, all the gopis and the cowherd boys, friends of Krishna, what kind of life they're living? Can you imagine? Horrible, fiercely looking monsters. You know, just imagine, I mean, you're sitting, you know, for your japa or bhagavatam or prasadam or whatever, right? For your class. And then some, you know, horrible creature just breaks into the building and starts destroying everything and chasing after everybody. I mean, that would be enough to kind of, you know, leave you traumatized for life, right? What to speak of these kind of occurrences happening, as acharyas are explaining, at least twice a day, every single day. And you might scratch your head and think, do I want to go to the Goloka Vrindavan? Am I interested to really join Krishna's pastimes? Because it's part of the package. And you might wonder, you know, Bhagavad Gita says, spiritual life is susukham kartum avyayam. Eternally full of bliss. What kind of bliss is that? So it's kind of a confusion for us. But actually, there is no confusion. Why? Because the subject matter which is described in this verse is one of the major subject matters of Bhagavatam. As we know, there are 10 subject matters altogether listed in the second canto, chapter 10. Bhagavatam answers all questions. Some of you might even know this famous verse. Atha sarga visargascha stanam poshanam uttaya mantra what's that? Manmantareshanu katha nirodha mukti rasaya. So this is the list of all the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with creation, secondary creation, maintenance, etc. And then poshanam, protection by the Lord is one of the major subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can see so many instances how the Lord is protecting his devotees. And so that helps us to understand how it is possible to be amidst all types of horrific calamities and still be happy in Krishna consciousness. You know, when I was in Los Angeles, devotees wanted to take me to the Universal Studio to, you know, have some fun with attractions over there. I mean, I just went because one devotee, close friend of mine, he wanted to have some ideas from the Universal Studio to use. You know, they have big land, he's in Nepal, and so he wanted to introduce something for the public. have some ideas from Universal Studio. Anyway, we went together, and I was thinking, you know, Krishna, the name Krishna means all attractive, and so actually scripture explain, Bhagavad Gita explained that whatever is attractive in this world is a manifestation of Krishna. So I was thinking, you know, how is it, why the Universal Studio and other places of this type are so attractive? What is the prime cause of the attraction? Anyone has any idea? What really attracts people? Why do they pay a lot of money, you know, to be, you know, to go through all types of horrific experiences, if you think about it, right? So, they want a drama, they want emotion, okay? But, I mean, they have enough drama in their lives anyway. Maybe not to that extent, but still. Is it that or something else? No. It's something else. It's an amazing feeling that you are in the midst of, you know, some horrible dangers, right? Like those of you who had the experience, they kind of create an attraction based on some movies, right? And then you are inside of the movie, and then there are dangers from all sides. There is a fire from this side, and some horrible monsters from that side, and they, you know, you nearly burned, and this monster nearly, you know, swallowed you, etc. And why do you pay so much money for that? Because of one thing only. You feel completely protected, because, you know, it's all under control, right? And so all these dangers, they're all around you, but you have so much fun, because, you know, you are in a very secure position, right? So you're getting now the picture? Why the residents of Vrindavan, they feel happy amidst so many dangers, right? Because they feel completely secure, because they know we have Krishna, we don't care about these guys. Krishna will sort them out. So, and actually it is fun for them, and we're about to go into the next 12th chapter, the killing of the demon Agasur, where it will be very vividly explained that when the coward boys, you know, running a little bit ahead of the description, when the coward boys, they saw this monstrous python, and they were thinking, is it a real lively creature or just some part of the scene? Is it our local attraction here, or is it real for real? And they were thinking, some were saying, oh, actually it's not an attraction, it's a real dangerous creature, so wants us to go into its mouth, so don't do that. And some of the boys got a little bit scared and they wanted to run away. But the other boys, apparently older boys were saying, come on. Even if it is a live creature, Krishna will kill him in the same way as he killed all the other demons. So we have nothing to worry about. And so they actually marched into Agasura's mouth. And the other boys, they saw these older boys go, and they went with them. And then the calves, because, you know, these are innocent animals, they just went alone into the mouth of Agasura too. And so then even Krishna got puzzled. Come on, you know, what are they doing just going into the mouth of death? So anyway, I have to rescue them. And so this is what's happening in Vrindavan. That they feel completely protected because they have experience. And the more they get the protection, the more faith and conviction they have that we have absolutely nothing to worry, that Krishna is there. No fear, Krishna is here. Right? That's why devotees are so fearless. Abai, Charanaravinda, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The first name of Srila Prabhupada is Fearless, right? Because of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And what is the relevance of these pastimes for us in our circumstances? It's very simple. Actually, this verse says, Naivata Ghora Darshana, that Ghora Darshan means very fierce looking. And the whole material existence is full of fearful things, full of fear, full of horrible circumstances, disease, old age, death, threefold miseries. So this is what material life means. And in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that the living entities who are hopelessly entangled into the meshes of repeated birth and death can be delivered at once by chanting even one holy name of Krishna. Apanna sansmritim ghoram. The same word is used, ghoram. Yannama vivashogrinan tata sadyo vimuchitai yad bibheti svayam bhayam. Why? Because Krishna is the fear for the fear personified. Everyone is afraid of Krishna. All these demons, they are like flies, it is explained in here, in front of the fire. So, in the fight between the fly and the fire, fly has no chances, right? And, I mean, it's just a very mild comparison. Who is that demon comparing to Krishna, all-powerful Supreme Lord? He's much less than a fly in front of the fire. And so, how do we take shelter of Krishna? By chanting Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And thus, it is explained that Binatvam Nama Namino, the holy name is no different from Krishna. By chanting Krishna's holy name, we come directly in the presence of the Supreme Lord, and thus we have nothing to worry. Krishna is always there, and so Krishna is always protecting. And there are so many stories, how, you know, modern-day stories, I mean, we know all the ancient stories from Bhagavatam, but we might think, oh, this was happening so many thousands and millions of years ago, and what about now? Oh, we have so many amazing stories in ISKCON of the modern times. The same friend of mine, he's very interesting devotee. He's original secretary for Nepal, and he used to be commander in Russian army. Very interesting personality, and upon the request of his spiritual master, he started developing preaching in that country. And at some point, there was, and I think there is still, like, civil war in that country, so it's like Nepal is full of trouble for some reason, very heavy karma. And in the middle of that civil war, they were trying to preach and practice Krishna consciousness. And so they managed to build a temple, very nice temple. And then one day, you know, when there is a war, you know, law and order is not really functioning properly. And so there was one gunda, they say in India, or mafiosi, one bandit, who was very famous in the city. And so he came to the temple and he met that devotee, his name is Patri, and he said, "You have to give me so much money, and then I'll let your temple continue functioning properly. And if you don't give me money," and he quoted some like very high amount also, "if you don't give me the money, the same thing will happen to you what happened to the Buddhist temple next door, and it was blown up. They put a dynamite in at the temple and it was blown to pieces." And he knew it's a serious threat that if they don't pay, he will do that. And no matter how much he was, you know, trying to convince them that him that we don't have so much money, we cannot pay. But he was adamant. He was saying, "No, no, you have to pay. I don't care." And then he left. And this guy was really, really powerful. I mean, of course, not as powerful as those demons who attacked Krishna in Vrindavan, but quite powerful by the, you know, Kali Yuga standards. He knew, you know, different martial arts, and he was, you know, very strong physically, and he had a lot of people under him, etc. And a lot of money as well. And so devotees couldn't do anything, and they couldn't even approach police because police was helpless. And so what was there to do? And that devotee, all night long, he was praying to his deity, Nrsingadev, and chanting holy names all night long. And next day, this man was supposed to come back for money. And he's waiting for this man, and he's not coming back. And the day have passed, he didn't come. Next day, he didn't come. And this devotee started wondering what happened. And then he found out this man died. And you know, how did he die? It's very interesting that he had a toothache. And then he went to the dentist, and the dentist told him, "You know, we have to open the root canal and extract the nerve from the tooth." And he said, "Fine." Seemed to be quite easy operation. And then, you know, the dentist started drilling, and somehow he pushed the drill too hard and it went into his nerve. And it gave him such a pain shock that his heart stopped and he died at the dentist armchair. Yeah, such a powerful man. Just died like that. So we can understand it's Nrsingadev, right? And we can also remember the pastime of Srila Prabhupada, how he was cheated, and actually, you know, under his command, devotees were attacked by dacoits in Bombay, right? The famous Mr. Nair. And when Prabhupada saw that this man is, you know, is not giving up, he's continuing with his atrocities, he thought, "Okay, I have to do something about it." And what did Prabhupada do? He prayed to Nrsingadev. And what happened to Mr. Nair? He died of a heart attack. So there are so many stories like that, that Krishna is always protecting his devotees. And there are so many forms just to protect his devotees. If you think about it, pretty much every form is to protect his devotees. And all these forms, like Nrsingadev and Bhamandadev, Trivikram, they are all just expansions of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explained in regards to the very first pastime when Krishna killed the Putana demon, that this is the proof that Krishna is the original Supreme Lord, because to kill this fierce demoness, I mean, there were so many demons Krishna killed, but the first demon was female demoness, Putana. I think, you know, Krishna is a real gentleman, so he follows the principle, ladies first. So the first demoness, the first person was demoness Putana. And so Prabhupada explains that, you know, in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, no, actually it's Vishwanath Chakravarti, and Prabhupada refers to him. In order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Krishna had to assume huge form of Nrisingadev in order to take away the universe from Bali Maharaj. The Lord had to assume unprecedentedly huge form of Trivikram, Vamanadev. Trivikram means three, means three, and Bikram means gigantic steps, right? So the form in which he could cover the entire universe just in three, in two steps actually. The third step he put on the head of Bali Maharaj. But here, Krishna killed this huge monster without changing his form. He just remained in his baby form. Not even a toddler. Just a little baby. And so he killed this huge demoness. And acharyas are explaining that this is how we can understand that Krishna is the original Supreme Lord. He doesn't even require to assume any form, because all the forms are already existing in him. And it's Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna likes to, you know, just stay in his original form. This is what Krishna enjoys. And another very interesting word is used in this verse, Jigamsayai, Jigamsayai Nam. And of course, very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is expression of lamentation from Uddhava. He says, Ahoba kiyam stanakalukutam jagayam saya paya apya satvi lephe gati mudruchitam tatonyam kambadayalum sharanam brajama. He says, alas, will I find the master who is more merciful than him who gave the position of his own nurse to these fierce demoness who came to poison him with the poison smeared on her breast. So Krishna is so merciful. And this is the reason he is killing these demons. Actually, Krishna is not killing these demons because, you know, he's so angry with them. So Prabhupada explains that for Krishna, it's all just lila, pastime, right? Just game. There is another very interesting verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that Krishna was killing all these demons in Vrindavan with the same ease as a little boy would break toys. You know, all these demons who were sent by Kamsa. So, of course, someone may complain, you know, Krishna had loving uncle living in Mathura, and this uncle happened to be a king. And this uncle loved Krishna so much, he kept sending Krishna life-size toys to play with. From Mathura to Vrindavan. Jai Shishi Radha Gukula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. But Krishna, instead of playing with these, you know, very special toys, he was breaking them. He was destroying, you know, like children have this somehow nature to break the toys, right? They play with the toy for a while, then they break the toy. I guess they just study, you know, whether it is breakable or not. And so this is what Krishna was doing, playing with these demons and killing them with the same ease as the child was breaking the toys. And so his loving uncle kept sending all these life-size toys to Vrindavan. And then Krishna started wondering, you know, like, I want to see that guy. And he went to Mathura and then he killed his own uncle. You know, some people have so many, complaints about Krishna. Krishna, what kind of personality it is that he killed his own uncle, right? This is how he started. And then, I was thinking that if we do this prison program, right, preaching to prisoners, it would be really easy to help them to relate to Krishna. You know, you can just tell that we are representing Krishna, and Krishna, you know, Krishna didn't went to jail. Krishna was born in jail. Krishna was born in a prison house, right? This is how he started his life. He started already being in jail. And then, after he came out from jail, what he was doing? Well, basically stealing and killing, right? His whole life. So I think for the prisoners, you know, they would feel a lot of affinity towards Krishna. Would be very easy for them to relate to such a personality. But Krishna is not doing that for, you know, his sense gratification. Whatever Krishna is doing, it's all meant for everyone's benefit. And so this is the most inspiring thing for us, that we're connected to Krishna. And Krishna wants every living entity to get benefit of his association, and we can give Krishna's association through association with Krishna's devotees, with Krishna's holy name, prasadam, books, holy places. There are so many ways how we can put people in touch with Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive. Yes, Krishna is attracting everybody, even not only pious and nice people are attracted to Krishna, but also demons, the worst people, are also attracted to Krishna. And they are attracted because of Jigamsaya, because they are envious of Krishna, because they are inimical towards Krishna. And there are so many instances like that. That's why devotees have to face so many dangers in their mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. But the most amazing thing is that Krishna is always there to protect his devotees. And so we have an amazing advantage. We can feel completely safe and secure even in this world which is full of danger. That's why Prabhananda Saraswati says, how the devotee perceives the material world, which is padam yad vipadam. It's the place where the danger is at every step. But for devotee, it's vishvapurnam sukhayate. It's full of bliss. So devotee is happy, even in this material world. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions, comments?